what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but each sound effect has a positive effect on people. Get that? The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. The most of the news that you will hear has a negative effect on people. By the way, it's designed to. That's what keeps you paying attention to it. Uh-oh, that doesn't seem right. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because we desire to have the effect of helping people get one step closer to the Lord. That's why. And also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio in San Diego, in Dallas. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy. So here it is, and we've asked this before, and we'll ask it again. What kind of effect do you have on your family and friends as a Christian? Is it spirit-led and Bible-grounded? Or is it a little more centered around the old man? Ouch! If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That would just be sad. Just give us a call. It won't hurt. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, 972-445-0770. You'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! Talking to Dynamite D is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
It's always feel good.
That's a always feel good feeling. It's very simple. If you want to reach out to us, you call us. It's okay. Now, we know it's 11:34 and 55 seconds in San Diego and 1:34 and 59 seconds here in Dallas. So if you want to call, you can do it. This is the time to do it. You can also text. Why? Because some people are like, call? I'm not calling a radio show. What kind of person do you think I am? It's okay. You can call. But if you don't want to, you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up now.
214-210-8483.
There you go.
I'll take that, Dave.
That's a good one right there. Also, you can send us an email because my Chromebook is still working. The hinges are still up. The light's still on. It's not worth a quarter, but that's not the point. The point is you can email me, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. You can do that. We're going to send you up to the website. There's many cool things on the website. There's a new transcription for one of the shows. I think it's pretty good. I'm trying a couple of different systems just to see how it is. So check it out. It's under the Spoon the Pot. You don't click on any of the lower tabs. You just click on Spoon the Pot, and it'll pop up right there for you. Additionally, there is free. What? Free. What? Free apps on the website that you can always put on your phone that you can listen to that take up almost no space on your phone, and we don't track anything or do anything. It's just so you can listen live and get some encouragement, because most of the encouraging things that are on the website are directly connectable by the app, Additionally, we ask you to partner with us in the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God. If the show is a blessing for you, please be a blessing to us in that capacity. You just click on the website where it says donate. We're going to give you the Proverbs 3:9 passage. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits, not your leftovers, of all of your produce. Honor the Lord first and foremost. We always encourage people to take care of home base. And then if the Lord gives you, puts it on your heart, or the Lord tells you to do otherwise, go ahead and give, but make sure you give it unto the Lord and not trying to just get rich off of giving to God. Thank you very much. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
You know how yesterday it was my brain? I'm going with that's your brain.
Pretty much, Dave. Why you call me out like that? Come on now.
All right. Now, listen. We've talked about this before. The show goes wherever the show goes. I'm just going to tell you right now, there is something coming up here that if you just can follow this sequence. Today, I received a text from one of our special listeners, and I texted back and forth. We're texting back and forth while I was driving down to the studio, although I'm very careful, so don't worry. You know, I'm very, like, I do it all.
Hold on now, Dave.
Voice command.
Okay.
All voice command. Never take my eyes off the road. Okay. And I don't pray while I'm driving down, closing my eyes. Anyway, point being, the entire text that we were going back and forth with is exactly in the lesson that I'm teaching in about 5 minutes. Now, you can't make that up. I mean, this person's texting me. I didn't text them. Okay. You see, that just tells you the Lord's like, I got something.
We should be used to that by now, Dave.
I got something. Let's get ready for it. We are in 2 Corinthians. We are in still chapter 8, so in case you're trying to figure it out. We're verse 22. That's 2 Corinthians. Not a lot of people teach on 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 22. And I was going to do this last week, but then we had the Lord kind of redo it. So this is actually from 2 weeks ago. We're picking it back up, and here's what it says. And we are sending along with them our brother, whose earnestness has been proven many times and in many ways, and now even more so by his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, see that plural? They are messengers of the churches to the glory of Christ. Just stop. You see, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the entire portion of this same text in verse 18 and 19 about a brother who had no name. And so that brother was commended by Paul. The guy is great. He's fantastic. And what happens? Lo and behold, only just 3 verses later, we have another brother that is commended by Paul, who's super fantastic and everybody loves him. And guess what we don't have about him? A name. See, you have to understand, I know that a lot of people might not see the humor in that, but Paul's like, this guy is so great. He's fantastic. And I'm also sending this guy. This guy is so great. He's fantastic. But we don't get either name. And so I want to point out a couple of things about that, because it's 2 in a row. That once the Lord has spoke twice, I have heard, David said in the Psalms. Listen to this. So he says, we're sending our brother. 2 weeks ago, we mentioned God chose not to disclose the name of the first brother in the scripture. Instead, we can enjoy the mystery, but also recognize the acknowledgement that it could be any of us, any unnamed person. Well, he does it again, a second time. And this reminds us that God values and honors every individual's service. It's just another unnamed brother. But here's what you got to catch. The Lord knows who this brother is. The Lord is appreciative of what this brother has done. And the Lord is the one that's giving him the praise, using Paul as the vehicle to write by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows. You know what? That is a testimony that God knows each and every one of us. And what we don't need to be doing is having our name up there. We just need to do it. The Lord is the one that recognizes. The Lord is the one that will acknowledge. The Lord is the one that will give you the rewards. You don't do this because at some point somebody's going to knock on your door and say, gosh, can we do a story about you? You're so fantastic. That is not the purpose of what we're doing. There is one superstar. His name is Jesus Christ. There is nobody else. And because of that, we just do the work. Be about the service. Do the things that are important to be done. Now, look at that passage. I mean, it's just really, it's quite fascinating. Because if you look at this, it's like, we're sending along with them our brother, whose earnestness has been proven many times and in many ways, and now even more so by his great confidence in you. And so you're sitting there, you're thinking, well, this guy doesn't even have a name. Yeah, but this brother's been proven or tested. It's worth noting that in our current age, listen to this, and this is what the texting was about. In our current age, if someone makes one mistake in a ministry, they are thrown out from the church perspective. That is just the truth. Don't tell me. That is exactly what's been going on. For certainly, since there's been greater mass communication in media, by the way, wars and rumors of wars, you really only have rumors of wars when you have mass communication. But okay, we'll forget that for right now. Let's just stick on the point. The point is, somebody makes a mistake, the church tosses. You know what? That's not biblical. You're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, our beloved Peter messed up so many times, he even got to the point of denying Jesus. You want to talk about messing up? That pastor, he broke his marriage vow. That is terrible. That person, they stole money. That is terrible. That person, they said all these curse words. That is terrible. The apostle Peter denied Jesus Christ after spending 3 years with him. But Dave, this is a scandal on television. The dude who was an apostle chosen by Jesus Christ denied Jesus Christ. What happened with that guy? He was the leader of the early church afterwards. Shouldn't he have been thrown out with the baby in the bathwater, just like the church often does? No. That's part of the problem right there. The church is like, toss him. And that, if there was Peter around today and he did it, what would happen? He'd be living in a cave somewhere. Is that how Jesus did it? No. And in fact, if the Lord did that with you, it'd be pretty brutal, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm just saying, there's nowhere to go with this. Just listen to it and go okie dokie. And this is kind of where these things are heading of late. It's straightforward, right? Peter messed up multiple times. I mean, he even said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing. Yep, there he is. And you're thinking, well, no, what are you going to tell me that there's redemption for? Yes. And so the person who texted me, love her, she's fantastic. She asked about redemption, rescue, and restoration. Let me explain something to you. Redemption happens once through Jesus Christ. That is the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Rescue happens initially, you're rescued from the kingdom of darkness, but then there's a continual or perpetual rescue for circumstances, situations, things that take place of your life. And then there's restoration, and there's initial restoration, and then there's continual restoration. Redemption, Jesus Christ, shed blood, done once. But your rescue and your restoration are ongoing part of the sanctification process, which keep going depending on where you're going and what's taking place. So Peter didn't have to be redeemed, but he needed to be rescued and restored. He already believed in Jesus Christ, but he blew it big time. How big? Bigger than any of the sins that everybody's talking about on television or in the world. But see, you don't understand. The world doesn't think denying Jesus is a big sin. They just think, oh, they made a commitment to be faithful sexually and they blew it, or they made a commitment to be good stewards, or they made a commitment not to swear or lie or do this and they blew it. They don't even understand. Dude, those are nothing, nothing compared to denying Jesus. See, but the world doesn't get it. So they focus on those other things. It's like, no. So Jesus restored him. And I was to this person, I texted, now I get into this and I got to be careful when I do it. But, you know, I just think of Mark and just think about this simplicity. He was with Paul. He was with Barnabas. He was hanging out with them. And then he bailed on them in ministry. Well, that was a drag. Yep. And Paul wasn't too happy, right? Not too happy. However, afterwards, because if he'd abandoned ministry, I mean, wow. But afterwards, as he hooked up with Peter, Mark becomes a little bit more astute and writes the Gospel of Mark. Now, listen to this. Listen to the simplicity of this, which leads millions of people to Christ. And at the end of Paul's life, he's like, bring Mark with me. Bring him over here. Like, Paul has this change of heart. Why? Because redemption is initially in the blood, and rescue and restoration are ongoing for you and for me. And so if somebody does something dumb, the church is just a stop. Crucified. We've mentioned this before. If somebody leads you to the Lord and then 20 years later, you know, falls off a cliff, does something just awful. Hey, that 20 years ago that person led you to the Lord, that's as valid as anything Billy Graham ever taught. Stop reducing it. It doesn't mean you're bad, they're bad, or that what they did was not true. That's ridiculous. That's just like saying the formula 2 plus 2 is 4 until about 10 years later when you need it to be 3. Okay. See, that doesn't work. Okay. All right. We'll do a quick trivia question. How was that? You just know where that was going.
That was like, good, Dave.
Okay. Just deal with that. Which Old Testament prophets appeared to Jesus at his transfiguration? Was it Tom and Jerry, Moses and Elijah, or Martin and Lewis? Okay, that's the question. Which Old Testament prophets appeared to Jesus at his transfiguration? Was it Tom and Jerry, Moses and Elijah, or Martin and Lewis? If you think you know the answer, some of you are going, Tom and Jerry. Other ones are going, Martin and Lewis. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question is, which Old Testament prophets appeared to Jesus at his transfiguration? Was it Tom and Jerry? Was it Moses and Elijah? Or was it Martin and Lewis? If you think you know, you can reach out to us. That would be super duper fantastic, because back to the text we're going, because we're not done. That's why. So let's go right back to the text. I'm going to read it all the way through and pick up on the next point, which is just, it's just fascinating. So we're sending along with them our brother, whose earnestness has been proven many times and in many ways, and now even more so by his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he's my partner and my fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, that's a plural, they are messengers of the churches to the glory of Christ. In full view of the churches, then, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our boasting about you. So what's important to understand is Titus and the other two brothers certainly earning high praise from Paul. They're doing their best, but they're doing their best because they're seeking to bring glory to Jesus. It's not about recognition or fame. It's about purpose. And when you and I can move, and it's hard. Don't lie about it or anything. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard. When we can move into, it's about serving the Lord and not being having to be recognized for every moment of service. It's not that you don't want to be appreciated. Of course we want to be appreciated. Who doesn't like to be appreciated? But it's understanding that our drive, our motive, that's a good word, our motive is about purpose and not about recognition. It's about doing the kingdom stuff and not getting a portrait of ourselves because we're doing kingdom stuff. I mean, even Jesus said, when you've done everything that you can do, everything you're supposed to do, just say we are worthless servants. I mean, there's a truth to the humility that needs to take place here. This is about us doing this because we love the Lord and because he's awesome, and we want to do our best to honor him because we're just we just appreciate. It's not about doing it so that we can prove it to anybody else. It's about doing it so that we can prove the sincerity of it unto the Lord, which is coming up in this rest of this verse. Because Paul says, simply show these men the proof of your love, the reason for our boasting about you. What was their proof of their love? What was that whole boasting? It's about purpose and not about recognition. So we do talk a lot about, you know, works don't save us, and they don't. But there's a genuine connection between us genuinely loving the Lord and having that be a part of our lives as some of the stuff we do. And it's important for you and I to understand that if you're doing things to get people to approve of you, that's not what the thing is. We do it. You know why you don't want to sin? You know the biggest reason? Oh, your flesh wants to sin. But you know why you shouldn't want to sin? Because you love Jesus. Not because of any rules and regulations and this. No. I want to do right for him. I want to be right for him. He's given me so much. I'm forever indebted. It can never change. And I love that because he loves me so much. I could never do enough to match that love. So his love will always surpass all of my efforts. And because of that, I rest in that. I don't freak out about it. You rest in it. You go, wow, I could never attain it. So I'm just going to do it because I love him. That's a different motive. That's a different mindset. That's a different heart. And so Paul says in chapter 9, verse 1, now about the service to the saints, there's no need for me to write to you. I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting to the Macedonians since last year about you and Agai, and they were prepared to give. And your zeal has stirred most of them to do likewise, which is a great portion telling you that people's zeal and their spirit and their attitude is contagious. And so when you're like, I love the Lord, that's contagious. Why are you, what, you're supposed to be ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that's in you? It's because I love Jesus, because Jesus loved me first, and I love him and appreciate him and want to honor him with everything I think, say, and do. And that's contagious. And there's an eagerness to serve, an eagerness to love, an eagerness to give, an eagerness to be involved in helping. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty touched your heart with his incredible love given to you by grace, you receiving it by faith, where Jesus lives in your heart by faith as you've opened the door to ask him to be Savior and Lord. And the Holy Spirit lives inside you as you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit and a vessel of God. I was like, I just want to do it because I just love him. I mean, it's great to do things that are good. So don't get that. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is we're going to stand, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. We're going to bow down before the Lord and throw all of our crowns before him and all of our gifts and all of our awards and everything. We're going to throw them at his feet. Why? Because you couldn't have done a single one without the grace of God. Do you think David said, for naught, my goodness does not extend beyond thee? David was saying, there's nothing in me that is good apart from what you are doing in me and giving me and helping me to do. Boy, does that humble people. Wow. Okay. It's just going to take it down a notch. Yeah. Yeah. And when you mess up, you know, there's a couple ways it can go. I think some people, they overcompensate. I'm so bad. Okay. Don't go, you know, so wackadoodle. The Lord died for all your sins. But be earnest about it. Yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. That was so wrong. I just did it wrong, man. I just thought wrong. I let that influence get me. Wrong way to go about that. I'm really, you know, that's like that sincerity in relationship, right? Isn't that cool, though? It's just like, how do you get that out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 22, 3, 4, and 5? Because it's there.
They're actually through 24. And then 9-1. It's just good. Just be eager to do that. Okay, here we go. We got their trivia question. I hope that was a blessing for somebody out there. I hope that was very pertinent to you. I think it'll be very helpful if you think of it in those terms. Which Old Testament prophets appeared to Jesus at his transfiguration? The question options were Tom and Jerry, Moses and Elijah, and Martin and Lewis. And the answer is Moses and Elijah. That's right. Representing the law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah that represented the law and the prophets.
I actually would have forgot that one, Dave, if the other answers wasn't so out there.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. All right, so for those of you in San Diego, we love you. Keep listening. Go to hemustincrease.org or keep listening on K-Bright because they have phenomenal teachers. Don't worry about that. For everybody on KAAM, hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal. How I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes. I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend, or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.